Well, before we begin our study together, let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week's Torah portion is especially dear to me because 49 years ago, I celebrated my bar mitzvah, and this was my Torah portion. Next year, on my 50th anniversary of my bar mitzvah, I'm going to do the bar mitzvah part two. Remember. But before I get a chance to, Stephen Rose has a second bar mitzvah coming up on Simchat Torah. So when he was 13, he had his bar mitzvah, and you know what the Torah portion is? It's Bereshit, in the beginning, is the first reading of the whole Torah. What a great thing. And Stephen and I are working together. He's going to be doing a second celebration of his bar mitzvah. So it's going to be great. So you've inspired me. And I told Sandy today, and she said, well, you've got to do it too then. So I've got 1 year to get ready. This week's Torah portion, Parshat Shoftim, has two themes that I want to explore with you. One of the themes is about Israel living in the land that God has promised. And the other theme is about a future prophet, not Moses, who God will send to Israel and to the Jewish people. So first, let's think about Israel in the land. You know, sometimes we think tomorrow is just going to be like today. And sometimes we think that the future has no surprises and no big changes, but Moses is telling Israel, the time of being in the wilderness is coming to an end. It's time to go into the land, so you've got to get ready. And he speaks this week about some major themes. He gives some instruction. There needs to be judges because there must be justice and equity in the land of Israel. They need to move in with anticipation. They need to be prepared for government. They have to rule over themselves in the land. It's a little different when you're building cities, when you're building houses, when you're getting settled. They've been living in huts in Sukkot, and now they're going to be crossing over into the land that God has promised. There is also instruction about spirituality, reminding Israel that the land is important, but their spirituality is even more important, that being in the land without being in right relationship with God is really not a blessing. Israel has to continually be reminded of this, that the well-being and the future of the Jewish people is connected to a right relationship with God. So there is a need to prepare for the future and to get ready for change. And I think for some of us, we think that we're stuck, that maybe we're trapped in the wilderness, but I want to tell you, you're not. You are in God's hands. And there's a time when he'll say, it's time to move into the land of promise. Now, you have to know this. When you go into the promised land, it's not that everything is easier. It's different. And you have new challenges and new responsibilities. It's just like when you pray for a new job and then you get it. And you find out it's a lot of work. Israel is being told to anticipate that the time of wandering through the wilderness is coming to an end. And so they have to get ready. They have to be ready. And that's useful for each of us. You know, as we're reading the Torah portions, the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadashah, I want you to remember that God is paying attention to the timing of those readings and the timing of things in our lives. Now, you might say, oh, it's just coincidental that something connects to the Torah portion. I want to tell you differently, that God uses the Torah portions and the regular readings in order to help us mark what's going on in our lives. In fact, He uses them to interpret some of the things that are going on. And without the scripture, we wouldn't really know what's happening in our lives. We might be oblivious. We might miss something. We might pay attention to the wrong thing. So it's important for Israel to pay attention, and that's why this week's Torah portion is so useful. And as you're reading the Torah portion yourself, I want to encourage you to take note of it and to be very attentive as you're reading and to see what in it like jumps out and catches your attention. What causes you to stop and say, that's helpful, that's meaningful for where I am. When you do that, when you're active like that, it will make a difference. Now, today, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, released a two-minute video that I found really interesting and very useful. And so we've arranged to show it to you. And he's addressing a question. It's a question of justice, and it's a question of understanding. It's a question of right relationship between nations, which is one of the themes of this week's Torah portion and the Haftorah. And he's asking this very specific question: are the Israeli settlements in Judea and Samaria in the West Bank, are they obstacles to the peace process? And in a short 2 minutes, he explains why they're not obstacles, but part of a vision that God has for the Jewish people and as well for the other nations of the world, including the Arabs. So we're going to dim the lights a little bit more, and we're going to put on this video. And those of you who are listening by podcast, you won't be able to see this, but we will put a link up online on Facebook so that you can watch the video for yourself. Here we go.
I'm sure many of you have heard the claim that Jewish communities in Judea, Samaria, the West Bank, are an obstacle to peace. I've always been perplexed by this notion, because no one would seriously claim that the nearly 2 million Arabs living inside Israel, that they're an obstacle to peace. That's because they aren't. On the contrary, Israel's diversity shows its openness and readiness for peace. Yet the Palestinian leadership actually demands a Palestinian state with one precondition: no Jews. There's a phrase for that. It's called ethnic cleansing. And this demand is outrageous. It's even more outrageous that the world doesn't find this outrageous. Some otherwise enlightened countries even promote this outrage. Ask yourself this: would you accept ethnic cleansing in your state, a territory without Jews, without Hispanics, without blacks? Since when is bigotry a foundation for peace? At this moment, Jewish school children in Judea Samaria are playing in sandboxes with their friends. Does their presence make peace impossible? I don't think so. I think what makes peace impossible is intolerance of others. Societies that respect all people are the ones that pursue peace. Societies that demand ethnic cleansing don't pursue peace. I envision a Middle East where young Arabs and young Jews learn together, work together, live together, side by side, in peace. Our region needs more tolerance, not less. So the next time you hear someone say, Jews can't live somewhere, let alone in their ancestral homeland, take a moment to think of the implications. Ethnic cleansing for peace is absurd. It's about time somebody said it. I just did. I'm sure many of...
It's about time somebody said that. He just did. Yeah, the idea that Jews can't live in any Arab lands, this is crazy. The idea that Jews should expect to be persecuted and even to be attacked if they're living in the other Middle Eastern countries, we've come to accept that, and it's wrong to accept it, isn't it? And so it's, I think, wonderful that Netanyahu has brought this up and made it very clear. I hope you use this information and that you share it with others. We'll post it to Facebook, and then I encourage you to share it with your friends. And put the word up and be very clear, because so many times you'll hear our government leaders say, it's the Israeli settlements expanding, this is the real obstacle to peace. And if you reduce it, as he has, to the simple idea, you mean more Jews there? That's the obstacle? No, not really. It's not. So be strong, prepare yourself and equip yourself, because God has promised Israel this land. And so the Jewish presence in even Judea and Samaria is an important presence. Jews should not just leave that land for the sake of peace. It will never be peace if that's what we do. Peace will only come when we can tolerate each other and live together and seek each other's good and not attack each other. So that's one of the themes I wanted to bring up. And the second theme is something that Moses brings up. It's in Deuteronomy, and it's this. There's going to be another prophet like Moses, and it's important for the Jewish people to listen to him. That's really powerful. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Starting in verse 15, it says this: the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from among yourselves, from your own kinsmen, and you are to listen to him. You are to pay attention to him. And it goes on in verse 18, I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything that I command him. Whoever doesn't listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, will have to account for himself to me. So Moses is bringing a very important word to the Jewish people. There is coming someone greater than me, and you will need to listen to him. Now, with that in mind, you can turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 35. It says, a voice came out of the clouds, and it said this: this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. Now, the repetition of language, listen to him, is for a purpose. Luke 9:35 is connecting to Deuteronomy 18. It's an instruction to us that we need to listen to Yeshua. It's an instruction to the Jewish people, listen to him. Now, let's go to the Haftorah, which is Isaiah 52, the part I want to look at, starting in verse 7. We'll just look at a couple of verses here that are very important. It says, how beautiful or how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, proclaiming peace, shalom, bringing good news of good things, announcing salvation and saying to Zion, your God is king. Say that with me. Your God is king. Listen, your watchmen are raising their voices, shouting for joy together, for they will see before their own eyes the Lord returning to Zion. Now, I want to make a connection between this statement, your God is king, and another very important idea for the Jewish people, and that is the idea of King Messiah. King Messiah. Say that with me. King Messiah. In Hebrew, Melech HaMashiach. Good. The king who is the Messiah. There is an understanding among the Jewish people, it's taken some time to develop, that Messiah is king. Well, now, how do we sort this out? The Lord is king, and Messiah is king. Now, if you're a member of Chabad, or you have been part of the Lubavitch community, you would be very familiar with billboards in Israel and with proclamations throughout your greater community that say that Rabbi Schneerson, who is no longer alive, that he is Melech HaMashiach. And you may also know that some of the Lubavitch began to almost worship him, to bow down to him. You see, there's a danger, and we can see it at work. There's a danger that people will elevate a man in the wrong way. The apostles saw this happen when they performed miracles sometimes. People would bow down to them, and you know what the apostles would say? Get up, I'm just a man. But what are we to make of this? There is a king who is Messiah, and the Lord is king. Well, this is one of the most important and surprising things about Messiah. Messiah is not just a good man, not just a normal man. Messiah turns out to be the Lord. Now, if you're part of the Messianic movement, you already know that, but it's not well known among our own Jewish people that Messiah is king, the Lord is king, the Lord is Messiah. And you just follow some of the principles of logic in order to resolve this, as well as revelation. God is the king. Who's the king? The Lord. Messiah is king. Who's the king? Messiah. Well, how do you make it so that Messiah and the Lord aren't at odds with each other? Easy. The Lord took care of that. He comes as Messiah. Now, this is a surprise. And what argues against it is not Torah, but a kind of thinking that has developed in the Jewish world. And it came from the Greek world, and then it was enhanced in the Muslim world. And it says that God has no physicality. He has no body. He can't manifest himself physically because he has no physical manifestation at all. And yet Torah teaches us otherwise. Torah teaches us that God comes down from heaven. He stands with Moses. He walks with Adam. He wrestles with Jacob. And he's not limited by his physicality, but he can take on physicality. So in the Messianic movement, we have to be really clear, God comes down. And we have to understand that the greatest surprise is not Yeshua's the Messiah, it's that Yeshua's Lord and Messiah. And this is what the apostles taught, that he is Lord and Messiah. How do you say Lord in Hebrew? Adonai. Now, the moment you say it this way, Yeshua is Adonai, you've said everything. You've made clear what we're trying to say. Now, the reason this is important is because we are living in an era where Jewish people all over the world are proclaiming the Jewishness of Yeshua. A few years ago, the Pope went to Jerusalem. He met with Netanyahu. Sounds like a joke. It's not. You know, like I'm setting you up for a joke. And so they're sitting together, and there's this spontaneous conversation, and Netanyahu turns to the Pope and says, you know, Jesus spoke Hebrew. And the Pope says, no, Aramaic. And Netanyahu says, you know, he was an Israeli. He spoke Hebrew. The Pope says, no, Aramaic. And so Netanyahu says, he spoke Hebrew and Aramaic, which I think was correct. But what was so amusing to me is Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is arguing with the Pope about how Jewish Yeshua is and whether he spoke Aramaic or Hebrew. They're talking about a Jew, which is now a common understanding. Now, the moment you reclaim the Jewishness of Yeshua in the Jewish world, you've done something. But it doesn't stop there. It's not enough to say Yeshua was a Jew or Jesus was a Jew. We have to go further than that because the scripture teaches us more than that. Of course, it teaches us that Yeshua is Jewish, but it teaches us that God came down. He came down from heaven. He took on a human body. Now, some Jewish people will say, you know, that's impossible. And even the teaching that a virgin will give birth, some will say, that's impossible. I was thinking about that. And I thought, okay, which is harder? For a woman who's young to give birth, or for a woman who's long postmenopausal to give birth? I don't know which is harder, but I was thinking, okay, so the woman's eggs, if you will, are not productive and fertile. Her womb is not fertile, right? That is, by definition, a medical fact. And so our Torah teaches us that Sarah gave birth. Now, is that difficult? I say so. It's a miracle, right? And it teaches us that Rachel gave birth, and she had been barren, right? Is that a miracle? So isn't it consistent with Jewish history and origins that when it's time for Mashiach, that it's going to be a miraculous birth too? Why would it be anything else but miraculous? And if God can do it miraculously for an old woman, can he do it miraculously for a young woman?
Yes.
Yeah. Same God, same ability to make miracles. So it's important for us to get comfortable with some of these facts so that we don't dance around them and we don't avoid them and we're not afraid of being offensive to our Jewish people. We need to be able to communicate clearly, rationally, and consistently with what Torah teaches us. And when we do that, I believe we can be effective and we can be people with beautiful feet, according to Isaiah. Those who stand on the mountains and who say, our Lord, our God is King, and who announce salvation, who announce Yeshua. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to be committed to what Torah teaches us about the coming prophet who's greater than Moses. Don't be afraid of that. Be clear about that. And know this, that when the Holy Spirit wanted to say something about Yeshua, he said, listen to him. The very thing that Moses said. And you and I, if we truly believe the good news about Messiah, we need to truly be honest about it. Don't beat around the bush. Don't fall for this idea, well, Yeshua was a good man, he was a good teacher, that's all he was. No, there's much more to it. He is Lord and Messiah. This is one of the great surprises for the Jewish people, and we have to be bold. In the same way that Netanyahu is bold about describing the ethnic cleansing position that is commonplace among those supporting the Palestinian state and against Jewish presence in Judea and Samaria, as bold as he was, you and I need to be bold about Messiah. So I want to pray for you about your boldness. Don't think that love means you don't say it clearly. You say it more clearly when you're showing love. I want to pray for you to be full of power and full of clarity and have something to say. Lord, I thank you that you're clear with us, and I pray that we could be clear with each other. I pray that we could be clear with our people and that we could say what we need to say about who Yeshua is. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to worship you who is Echad. You are one, and your name is one. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for your salvation. We have salvation in no one else but you, and we are grateful for that. Give us boldness. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that we would be strong, that we would not be shy, we would not be fearful, and we would not be uninformed. We would not be ignorant, and we would not be arrogant. But with humility, we would tell the truth about Messiah. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessing. Please rise as the soon-to-be no longer bachelor comes up to stand with me. Soon to be no longer. I don't even know if that's, is that English? Not very good, but he's a great guy. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yisemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.